Thank you, Trevor. Great job. You know, Jesus himself said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? I'd rather have Jesus. Amen, church? Yes, sir. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Continuing our series called Powerful Potential. This is our second in a four-part series. Again, let me say that I'm honored to be filling in for Dr. May. And always honored to do that. Appreciate the opportunity. Judges chapter 6, we're going to pick up where we left off last week at verse 25 and go through verse 32. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. Build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much, he feared the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, and they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. And Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down this altar. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time as we open your word, Lord. I pray that we would open our hearts and receive your word into our hearts and minds and apply it to our lives. I pray that each one of us would be receptive to the leading and guidance and teaching of the Holy Spirit. Pray that I will decrease and you will increase. And give me the words to say for your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read a story about a blacksmith who was training a beginner blacksmith on the ways to make a horseshoe. The experienced blacksmith said this, I'll bring the shoe from the fire and lay it on the anvil. When I nod my head, you hit it with this hammer. The young man did exactly as he was told, but he will never hit a blacksmith with a hammer again. Here we find Gideon in training, but obviously, of course, not to be a blacksmith. And we see that Gideon does exactly what he was told. Tonight, as I said, is our second lesson in a four-part series called Powerful Potential. Last week, we saw where God's people were living under the oppression of the Midianites. The book of Judges is about how God's people would rebel against God. They would turn away from God, and as a result, God's judgment would fall on God's people. He would judge them or bring judgment on his people by sending in or using an enemy nation army to invade and conquer God's people. And the people would live under the oppression of those enemy nations. And so we see here in Gideon's day, that enemy nation is the Midianites. So the enemy army is the Midianite army. The people had turned away from God. They were in rebellion against God. We see in this passage that they were even worshiping pagan god idols and altars. And so that shows you how far they had turned away from God. And so God now raised up Gideon to be the individual who would lead God's people in turning back to God and also lead God's people in overthrowing and defeating the Midianite army. Gideon does not appear to be the right man for the job, as we saw last week. We saw Gideon was hiding, literally hiding, in his backyard threshing wheat. Gideon was afraid that if the Midianite soldiers heard that he and his family had wheat, that they would come and attack and take away their wheat and other assets that they had. And so we saw how Gideon and God's people were living in fear and not living by faith. And we saw how God appeared to Gideon. There was what we call an Old Testament theophany, where God appeared to Gideon to give him this, to communicate this truth to Gideon and to give him this revelation that he was God's man to lead God's people against the Midianite army. And we saw how Gideon tells God why he can't do it. I want us to look at verse 15 and notice what Gideon said there. So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So you see, Gideon was not all in. I mean, he was fearful. He was afraid. He and the people felt defeated. And so initially, Gideon, it feels like he's not the right man for the job. But we saw how there was a encounter, a continued dialogue, if you will, between God as he revealed himself to Gideon and Gideon. And so Gideon lost that argument, and he somewhat reluctantly surrenders to God's plan. As you know, Gideon's one of our well-known characters in the Bible. We all know that as the story goes, Gideon leads a small group of men to defeat the Midianite army and win freedom for God's people. But tonight we first see God give Gideon some smaller training missions to prepare him for a much bigger mission. In other words, we see here Gideon taking baby steps. We see God putting Gideon in training. We see Gideon being prepared for the bigger mission later against the Midianite army. Just like God here is developing Gideon, God wants to develop each one of us here tonight as well. You see, from the moment we got saved, God wants us to grow spiritually. God wants us to develop to the next level of service. He wants us to be in training for the next bigger and greater mission. This morning, Phil did a great job preaching a message about transition, about how all of us as individuals, we go through phases, and life is about transitioning from one phase to the next. And so God prepares us for those transitions. God trains us, if you will, gets us ready for those next phases of life. So we see tonight our lesson, a title of our lesson tonight is Training Ground. Training Ground. Notice three things here in this passage tonight. Notice, first of all, notice God's command. Notice God's command. Look at verse 25 and 26. Notice what it says here. God has appeared to Gideon, revealed this plan to Gideon. Gideon accepts, worships God, prepares this altar before God. And now we see this, verse 25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. Build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. Take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down." So now, notice here now, God spoke to Gideon. Yes, Gideon has surrendered to God's plan. God speaks to Gideon, and he gave him a job to do. When? That same night. God immediately had him a task. In other words, God didn't waste any time. Listen, God has a plan for your life and my life, and his plan comes with specific tasks, with specific steps, at specific times. Now, we may not see that always. We may not realize that in the big scheme of things, but I promise you, the Lord God of the universe has specific tasks and specific steps at specific times for your life. When with Gideon, it was a smaller task, a smaller job, but notice this, he gave it to Gideon to do it when? Now. He appeared before Gideon. They had this encounter. God said, this is what you're going to do, Gideon. Overthrow the Midianite army. Gideon says, okay. That same night, immediately, God says, but first you go and tear down that altar and build an altar to me. You see, God saw the potential in Gideon. He sees the potential in you. He may have greater blessings for you, but we sometimes have to accept that first step, and we make sure that we do it when? We do it now. We do it now. If we know what it is God wants us to do, we cannot make the mistake of putting it off. What if Gideon, notice the story here. Gideon, go tear down that altar. Okay, well, let me get my calendar out here. Let me get my cell phone and look and check things, my calendar, my schedule, and see if that can do. No, that same night, Gideon, go tear down the altar. We need to make sure that we understand that little task, that one thing that we're putting off in life may be the thing that leads to the bigger victory. Now, that smaller task, that thing that's kind of hanging around, you know, that's kind of bugging you, that you're putting off, that you're not doing, may be the very thing that will lead to bigger blessings. It may be the very thing that God wants you to do to prepare you for the next level of service, for the bigger blessing, for the greater victory. But the principle is this. In our relationship with God and his plan for our lives, his mission that he has for us like he had for Gideon, the principle is this. Start from right where you are. Right? Amen, church? We tend to do what? We tend in our own mind to wait to just the right time. When things get right, when this happens, when that happens, then I'll go ahead and do it. But God says, this is what I want you to do. Do it right now. Don't put it off to another time. I read a story about a farm boy who accidentally overturned his wagon load of corn right in the middle of the road. There was a farmer that lived nearby that knew this farm boy, and he came out to investigate. Hey, Willis, he called out. Forget your troubles for a spell and come on in and have a dinner with us. Then I'll help you get the wagon up. That's mighty nice of you, Willis answered, but I don't think Pa would like it. Ah, come on, son, the farmer insisted. Well, okay, the boy finally agreed, but Pa won't like it. After a big dinner, Willis thanked his host. I feel a lot better now, but I just know Pa is going to be real upset. Don't be foolish, exclaimed the neighbor. By the way, where is he? He's under the wagon. I was worried about that when y'all liked it a little better than I thought you would. When's the right time to be obedient to God? Right now. Thank you, whoever said that. Right now. Don't put it off. You're missing God's blessings if you put it off. And the very thing God wants you to do may be a baby step for something better, something bigger, more blessings. And it may be, listen, I understand that this is one of those things that it's a principle that comes in on all different levels, means different things for each one of us and where we are in life. But you know, understand, it might be something that God is wanting you to step forward to do. But it also might be something that God's asking you to step back and let go. But whatever it is God is telling you to do, whatever it is God has for you, do it now. Don't put it off. God is waiting. Take that step of faith. We talked a great deal more at length last week about Gideon's fear, and it was real fear, and talked about how we sometimes have fear, but don't be frozen by fear. Allow yourself to be set free by faith. Listen. God said, Gideon, one day you'll strike down an enemy nation. But tonight, I want you to just knock down a pagan altar. Preparing him, getting him ready for a bigger thing, a bigger victory. Remember this, David killed a giant. But what did he have to do first? Confront and kill a lion and a bear. Delayed obedience is not obedience. Point number two, notice we see here God's command. Notice, second of all, notice Gideon's compliance. Gideon's compliance, verse 27. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him, but because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Gideon did what God commanded. Gideon did what God asked him to do. We see here he got some help. He rounded up 10 servants, and they went out. They destroyed this pagan altar without hesitation, without procrastination. He was obedient to God's instructions. Gideon's obedience is a great example for us to follow. Our purpose as Christians, our overall purpose as believers, is to glorify God. Our purpose as believers, first and foremost, is to glorify God. And fulfilling that purpose begins and ends with obedience. Obedience, compliance, submission to His will and His way as it is stated in His word. Now I know that you and I, we spend time in God's word, we spend time with God in His word and in prayer, and there are things, there are principles in here, there is doctrine in here that applies to each and every one of us, and we need to be obedient to those things. If we see something, God reveals it to us. God speaks to us about a principle, about a doctrine, about scripture in some way. Yes, we need to be obedient to that. We need to be obedient now. But sometimes by spending time with God in His word and in spending time with God in prayer, He reveals specific plans for each one of us. He'll reveal it to us, yes, through the word, through spending time with Him. He'll give us that unique and special plan or task that He has for each one of us. And we bring glory and honor to God when we live out the principles and guidelines found in the Bible and when we are obedient to that specific, unique thing He calls us to do. When God reveals something specific for us to do, we are to trust Him and take that step of faith and submit or obey His plan. Here's the thing. Sometimes we respond like another character in the Bible. Sometimes we're guilty, as I know I am, I have been many times. We're guilty of responding like Jonah. God spoke to Jonah. This is an example. Jonah, go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't go to Nineveh. What did he do? He ran in the opposite direction. He ran away from what it was God had for him to do. Where did Jonah end up? In the belly of a whale. Did Jonah, in the belly of a whale, glorify God? No. Why? Because God doesn't want his people in the belly of a whale? No. Because Jonah was disobedient. Did Jonah get God's best and God's blessings in the belly of the whale? No. Why? Because God couldn't get the blessings to him in the belly of a whale? No, because he was disobedient. But we also see another response. I want to ask you to hold your place here in Judges chapter 6 and turn with me over to 1 Samuel verse 17. Hold your place, Judges 6. We're going over to 1 Samuel 17, talking about compliance, talking about being obedient. I know those are not well-received buzzwords these days, but look at 1 Samuel 17. We see a response here of David as he faces Goliath, or as Saul and his army face Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to look at verse 45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and spear." Notice this: "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Notice verse 48. I love this verse. "And it was so, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran away, ran in the opposite direction from the army to meet the Philistine." Is that what it says? David hastened. God's got something for him to do. There's a problem. There's a difficulty. And David hastened and ran toward the army to meet that ugly giant Philistine. Isn't that good? Listen. Our responsibility as children of God is to be faithful. It is God's responsibility to give us the victory. David said, "Goliath, you come at me with a sword and a spear, but I can tell you I'm going to defeat you. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to cut your head off." Why? Because the battle is the Lord's. Our role is obedience. God's responsibility is victory and blessings. Charlie Brown said this in one of the Peanuts comic strips. Listen carefully. He said, "There's no problem so big that I can't run away from it." Isn't that just like Charlie Brown? Listen, we can't run away from problems. We can't run away from difficulty. Those are just opportunities for God to do a great work. Big problems, difficulties, issues in your life, your struggles are an opportunity for God to do a great work and to be glorified. If we put it off, if we procrastinate, if we are not obedient, then God can't get the glory. So we see here, number three, not only do we see God's commands, number two, we see God's, we see Gideon's compliance, and number three, and lastly, we see the people's complaints. Look at verse 28 through 32. Let's read that together. Back over in Judges 6. Continue now in Judges 6. Look at verse 28. And when the many men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down. The wooden image that was beside it was cut down. The second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" And when they had inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing." Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it." And Joash said to all who stood against him, "Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down." Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he's torn down this altar." God is pleased with Gideon's actions, but it appears basically that he's the only one. When we are faithful and obedient, the purpose, remember, is for God to be glorified, but there may be some who do not understand your step of faith. We see here that Gideon was obedient, took a stand, and God used that to even touch Gideon's own family. Gideon's demonstration of faith had an impact on his own father. His father was convicted about his own pagan idol worship and rebellion and lack of obedience. Listen to me, listen. God could use your obedience to impact your family, your church, your place of employment. God could use your obedience to prepare you for something bigger. But what's important in this lesson is how Gideon gained some valuable experience. This, remember, we said this is training for Gideon. He learned God would empower him. He learned that God would protect him. He learned that God would give him the victory. He learned that God is greater than any of our enemies. But he also learned that you got to take that first step. This was training. This was a first step that led to a greater victory. I read a story from Reader's Digest. I want to share it with you. This is beginning of the quote. Just read it to you. As a quote, it says, "As a professional animal trainer, I was disturbed when my own dog developed a bad habit. Every time I hung my wash out on the clothesline, she would yank it down. Drastic action was called for. I put a white kitchen towel on the line and waited. Each time she pulled it off, I scolded her. After 2 weeks, the towel was untouched. Then I hung out a large wash and left home to do some errands. When I came home, my clean clothes were scattered all over the yard. On the clothesline was the white kitchen towel." As Christians, as children of God, we're all in training. Let's be obedient to what it is God would have each one of us to do. As God leads, we respond by faith, not putting it off to another day, but doing it now. A step of faith, step by step, and God will give us victory after victory. Let's pray together.